We decided to take a break from the study on holiness this morning and I'm going to talk about crossroads, and I've been going back and forth on whether that's the best way to express what I'm going to be talking about this morning or not, but either way, that'll be the title of it. Because I heard a story once about two brothers. The one was a felon and the other was a Christian. And I can't vouch for the truth of this story because I have no idea where I heard it. But the story goes that at one point, the one brother was in prison and the other brother was living an upright life. And they were both asked the same question. They were asked, "What made you what you are today?" And they both gave the same answer. Their dad was also a felon. And they gave the answer, "What else could I be with what my father was?" And I find that very interesting. And whether it's a true story or not, there is a true principle in that story. And that's the principle that I want to drive home today. The same circumstance that will take one person forward will take another person backward, depending on how you respond to it. It all depends on the choices you make. In Proverbs 9:8 we read, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Again, that is the same principle. Reprove one man, and it begets love. Reprove another man, and it begets hate. When someone reproves you, it instantly puts you at a crossroads. You can choose the path of love, and you could choose the path of hate. And the sobering fact is what you choose could change the course of your life. Just simply when someone reproves you. Someone comes to you, gives you a little reproof, and what you do could change the course of your life. If someone reproved you yesterday, the way you act today, you are choosing a path, and that path will lead you to usefulness or to destruction. But of course, reproof is not the only thing that does this to a person. There are thousands of little circumstances that we face on a day-to-day basis. And how you respond to them is vital. In Song of Solomon 2:15, we read, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And of course, the context of this verse is a romantic relationship. And I find it funny that since I started dating, everybody wants to give dating advice. And it's interesting that what this verse is saying is the most common piece of advice that I'm ever given. It's the little things that matter. People tell me that all the time. It's the little things that matter. Next person comes and gives advice. It's the little things that matter. And here it is. It's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. And this is a biblical principle. And it's not only applied to romantic relationships. Everything in life, it's the little choices that will change the course of your life. The little choices that matter. It's that little choice. Someone reproves you. How do you respond? It's the little fox that spoils the grapes. Sometimes a little choice can change your life. And even scarier, it can change where you spend eternity. A little choice can set in course a path for your life that will change where you spend eternity. And I'm going to look today at some choices that people made and where those choices led them. The way they responded to situations. I'm going to look at humility versus pride, firstly. And I'm going to look at repentance versus refusing to repent. And lastly, I'm going to look at covetousness versus liberality. And again, as I mentioned, there's thousands of these little things. And I'm only going to take three of them just because they were the three that came first to my mind this week as I was thinking about it. But before I go further, I'd like to take a moment and pray that God will open our hearts to hear these things. Our Father, as we look at this subject this morning, of the choices we make, what road we choose to walk, I pray that you would open each of our hearts. Help us to make the right choices in life. Amen. The first two people that I want to look at is Solomon and Rehoboam. David's son Solomon ascended the throne and he prayed to God, and we have his prayer in 1 Kings 3:9. He said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And Solomon was the greatest king that this world has ever seen. But Solomon's son Rehoboam ascended the throne, and he said, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And whereas now my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Solomon ascended the throne in humility. Rehoboam ascended the throne in pride. That's the difference. For Rehoboam, the kingdom was divided, and Jeroboam reigned over the kings of Israel. Rehoboam only had Judah. Choose the humble road. You can't decide. If you find yourself to be proud, you can't decide, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be humble. It's just not that simple. Dale and I have talked about this a couple times in the past few weeks at our prayer groups on Wednesday night. You can't just decide, on Tuesday I'm going to be humble. But you can make humble choices. How you respond to a promotion can change the course of your life. You can make humble choices. You can respond after the manner of Solomon, or you can respond after the manner of Rehoboam. In Matthew 23:12, Jesus says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." In James 4:6, James writes, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And James is, of course, quoting Proverbs 3:34, where it says slightly different words, the exact same concept. He says, "Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly." When I was looking at this week, something stood out to me that I'd never seen before. Who knows what the first reason God gives as to why he had the children of Israel wander 40 years in the wilderness? He gives us two reasons. In Deuteronomy 8:2, and this verse is repeated a second time a few verses later, same two reasons are given. I'll read you the verse. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Children of Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness because God needed to humble them and to prove them. And I guess what I'm saying at this point in my message is make humble choices. It could save you 40 years in the wilderness. Simply by choosing the humble path rather than the proud path. And we see this very specifically in the 12 spies. Because humility and faith always go hand in hand. We know that only two of the spies believed God's promises. But I am ready to say that there were two humble spies and 10 proud spies. Pride looked at themselves rather than to God. But yet they were still honest enough to say, we can't do it. The giants are big, we're little. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. Humility looked to God and his promises and said, we can. Sometimes the humble choice is simply to take God at his word. And that little choice of choosing to believe what God has said can change whether or not you inherit the promises. Choose the humble road. The next thing I said we're going to look at is repentance. Even the best saints through history fall. But how do you respond when you realize it? How do you respond when you realize you have fallen? And I want to look today at Saul and David. Saul offered a burnt offering when he was not authorized to do so. And he excused himself. We find the story in 1 Samuel 13:11. Samuel said to him, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. He excused himself. And the kingdom was taken from him and given to another more honorable than himself. When David sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet came to him with this story and says, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was one to him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that came unto him, but took of the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Nathan went on to expound a little bit more But the first words out of David's mouth were, I have sinned against the Lord. Even the best of God's people fall. But did you realize the deciding difference between Saul and David was that Saul excused himself and David said, I have sinned. Proverbs 24:16 we read, For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. We have another example of the same thing. Peter and Judas. This might shock you. It actually shocked me the first time this thought crossed my mind. But did you know the deciding difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter repented and Judas hung himself? Yes. Judas actually betrayed Jesus. Peter only denied him. And if you're going to talk about sins and levels of sins, yeah, there's a difference, potentially. But if Judas had repented, he could have been saved. And if Peter had not repented, he would not have been saved. Let me restate myself. The deciding difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter repented and Judas hung himself. How about the two thieves on the cross? What was the difference between the two thieves? Up to the last few hours of their lives, they were the same. They were both thieves and condemned, hanging on a cross. They were both blasphemers. We read in Mark 15:32 that they that were crucified with him reviled him. They that were crucified with him reviled him. But at some point, the one owned up to his sin and asked Jesus to remember him. And the other never did. It's just that simple. In Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That small difference of owning or not owning your sin landed the one man in hell for these 2,000 years and for eternity to come. And landed the other man in paradise. So far for 2,000 years and for eternity to come. We've been studying through the book of Acts. Timothy just talked a little bit about Ananias. And I couldn't help but have it stand out to me. A striking contrast between Ananias and Barnabas. So I want to read this passage in Acts chapter 4 through the beginning of Acts chapter 5. Starting in verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. I guess let's read through verse 11. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Barnabas and Ananias. Excuse me. We are told that many people were doing this. We are only given the names of two of them. Many that had lands sold it and brought the money. But we know the names of two. We know Ananias and Sapphira, and we know Barnabas. And the difference between the courses of these men's lives could not be more different than it is. And I believe that God mentioned these two on purpose to draw this contrast. The one man gave from the liberality of his own heart. And this is the first thing we see of a man who went on to be a mighty man of God. The other man died just days after he made his decision as to what he was going to do. Let's take a look at Barnabas. When the apostles were afraid of Paul because of his history of persecuting Christians, it was Barnabas who took him in and discipled him. In Acts 9:26 is the next time we see Barnabas come up. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Then we see Barnabas again in Acts 11:20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. This is speaking of Barnabas. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught the people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Then we see him again in Acts 13:1. Now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, it was called Niger, and Lucas, and Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Even up to this point, we see Barnabas and Saul working together as Barnabas being the leader. It's Barnabas that goes and brings Saul to Antioch, and they work together for a year. And then Barnabas and Saul are sent out. And they work together closely for a couple more years until you remember the story, I'm sure, about their disagreement about John Mark. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed one from the other. Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul took Silas. And on one hand, it's natural to think that Paul was right in this argument because we don't see Barnabas again throughout the rest of the book of Acts. But in 2 Timothy, a man named Mark is mentioned. And it's believed by a lot of scholars, and I don't know how they prove this for sure because it just says Mark instead of John Mark. But it's most commonly believed that it is the same man. And Paul writes of him, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And again, I don't have enough scholarship to prove that this common understanding is actually true. But it seems so, and it seems even that Barnabas' effort that he put into John Mark paid off. But either way, however we look at John Mark, Barnabas was a mighty man of God. The man who actually discipled Paul. Then on the other hand, the contrast is so sharp when we draw it to Ananias. Ananias made a decision that he probably thought was maybe a little selfish. But he had his reasons. In his mind, it was completely justified. At most, he thought it was a little thing. But that little seed of covetousness caused him to lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias did not die directly for his covetousness, but he died for lying. Probably within a week or two of each other, these two men met with the same opportunity. And according to their own character, they each made their own decision. The one decision led Barnabas onto a missionary who was written down in the Chronicles of Heaven and in the Acts of the Apostles. The other decision led Ananias to a sudden and miserable death. And it seems that I should have put more time into finding more examples, because I'm at the end of my notes, and it didn't take me as long to get through them as I thought it would. But either way, we've only looked at three different crossroads that you can come to. The humble road versus the proud road, repentance versus refusing to repent, covetousness versus liberality. But there are so many little things that have big consequences. I did not intend at all to exhaust this subject. I only want to give you some examples to help drive this principle home. And as I thought about it, I wanted in some ways to give you guys some examples even from my own life. Choices I made and the consequences that came along with them. But I honestly didn't feel like talking about myself today. I've made enough good and bad decisions already, only being 25, to preach a whole sermon about them. And God's been merciful to me. Today, I'll just give you one hint that I've learned from my decisions. When you find yourself saying to yourself, "I can handle it," know that you're about to make a bad decision. The only way to live life is to think of yourself as the weakest person on earth, and that if anybody can fail, you will. Make your decisions according to that idea, or you will make a lot of bad ones that lead you into a lot of consequences. Make humble decisions. Respond with humility and love when someone rebukes you. Choose liberality over covetousness. And repent when you're faced with something that you've done wrong. Admit that you're a sinner. Say with David, "I have sinned." These things that in the moment may seem small can change the course of your life. For now, until you die, and even change where you spend eternity. Let's pray. Father, again, I just ask that you will help me and help each of us that are here this morning to make the right choices in life. Father, help us to choose the humble road. Help us to choose liberality over covetousness. Help us to respond in love when we are rebuked. And help us, Father, to say with David, "I have sinned," when we need to. I pray now that you'll be with all of us as we go. And be with us the next hour. And bless us. Amen.